Okay, it's been a couple weeks. It's good to be back. We are always trying to do fundamental inyanim, to not just have divrei Torah, which are important, but also foundations, yisodes hachayim. Sometimes that's a frustrating thing that we know gematrias or we'll know a chidushei arim al haTorah on the Parsha, but we don't know a Rashi, a Rambam, a Ramban. And that it's understandable, you know, because a lot of times we're catching up when we're younger and people want to teach us the basics. We're not ready for the basics. We're not mature enough. We want to just play basketball or whatever it is. And a lot of us now have to educate ourselves at a later stage. But it actually is very easy. When you get into a zone, you can educate yourself over a year or two. It's amazing how much a person can educate himself. If a person reads over the Chumash, Shnayim Mikra is a Chiyuv, but just by reading over the Chumash, the stories of the Chumash, it doesn't matter in what language, a person can then, they can learn Mishnayos, and a person can actually become familiar with Rove of Shas, and Chamisha Chumshei Torah in the course of a year or two, believe it or not. That's one of the beauties of Mishnayos, Stam. Mishnayos really are, with the Perushim, you end up covering Rove of Shas. Sounds a little bit hard to believe, but a lot of Shas, if you break it down, every page of the Gemara, you know, there's the whole Masav HaMatan, but there are the bottom lines in the Gemara. And in theory, a person who reads, who learns Mishnayos with the Bar Tanura or... it doesn't matter, you can learn it with the Art School Perish, we'll actually be covering Rove of Kol HaTorah Kula, as hard as that is to believe. And people do this and they catch up very quickly. So it's very important in these years to get fundamentals. It's not hard. A person can read through the entire Chumash in English, and all the times that they were sliding under the table because they didn't know who was who, they can clarify all of this within just a few months. It's really quite amazing. That's actually why a lot of people, when we find like in some of the more modern yeshivas, there are guys who just like pound, and in a short few couple years, they become like, they rise to the top of the olam yeshivas, which is hard to believe, but the answer is, it's not so hard. If a person's systematic, a person can catch up on lost time in a very short amount of time. So something that we have in this week's mitzvah, the mitzvah of the day, so to speak, and it's also shayach to Purim, obviously, is the mitzvah to remember Amalek. Right? It says in Parshas Ki Tetzei, Zachor es asher asah lecha Amalek baderech b'tzeischa mimitzrayim. We have to remember what Amalek did to us. This is a mitzvah to remember. Asher karcha baderach vayizenebucha kol anechshlim acharecha v'atah yefi ageya. Right, we were tired, there were stragglers. V'lo yare Elokim. And these people did not fear Hashem. And that's a very big chiddush, because Yiras Hashem at this time was not a virtue that was above like expectation. Hashem showed himself in the world. Yiras Shamayim today, if any of us have Yiras Shamayim, even a little bit, It's praiseworthy, because we're in a world of darkness. But at this time, at Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole world was quaking from Klal Yisrael. This will never happen until Yemos HaMashiach again, a period of time where Klal Yisrael, literally people were trembling as we were marching, just running from fear of us. And Amalek did in World War II, they called this a kamikaze attack. A kamikaze attack, right? The Japs would send in their planes right into boats and kill themselves for their cause. They did a kamikaze against Yiras Hashem. Chazal say they had an agenda. They jumped into a boiling pot, right? And the pot naturally gets cold or colder when you go into that pot. But think about it. The mashal of Chazal is crazy. Very nice. They jumped into a boiling pot and got a little colder. Have you ever made a soup? I'm not such a cook, but I watch what goes on in the kitchen. Right? If you take a carrot and put it in the soup, how much colder does it really get? The pot. You know, what's going on over here? And the carrot is fried, right? That's it, right? It's done. So Amalek, they did a kamikaze attack to remove Yerushalayim from the world. They died for their cause. They died for their cause, which is incredible, an incredible thing. So the Sefer Achinuch points out that in their genetic pool, in their very being, is evil. They're the types of people who will die for such a cause. It's a very unusual thing. Goyim usually don't die for their cause like that. Goyim like to, they like to go bowling, they like to have their bars, they like to, you know, they like to have their football games and their couch, and, you know, they like the good life. If things get scary, and they, Hashem's shown in the world, they're not going to, like, die for that cause of getting rid of Hashem in the world. They just want to be left alone. Amalek's not like that. They waged a war to remove Yiras Hashem from the world. That is the essence of what evil is. And there's no tikkun for Amalek. It's actually fascinating. There's a machlokas. The Rambam holds you can have an Amaleki who becomes a ger. The Rambam paskins that way. An Amaleki could become a ger, and then he's no longer an Amaleki. The Rambam even goes so far as to say an Amaleki could become a ger toshav, which means somebody who accepts the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But the Mechilta, the sheet of the Mechilta, the Medrash, holds that there's no such thing as even having an Amaleki ger. It's a fascinating issue, because in Tanakh, there was a story with Shaul, there was a story of a ger Amaleki. What exactly was that ger if he wasn't... But we understand the concept of the Mechilta. How could you have a ger who's Amaleki? He's bad to the bone. Or we see the greatness of becoming a yid. It changes your whole metzias. But at the end of the day, v'lo yare Elokim, they had no fear. They had no fear. V'haya baniach Hashem alokach alecham mikol oivecha misaviv. Hashem got rid of all of the enemies. And then there's a call that when Hashem takes care of you, you have to take Amalek down. Timchez zecher Amalek mitachas Hashemayim lo tishka. Don't forget. So there are two mitzvahs for Amalek. One is to remember Amalek. What's the second mitzvah? To wage war against Amalek. And the Rambam the Rambam discusses this in Sefer HaMitzvos. Again, I'm just going to read to you a Rambam. This is what I like to do. It's an important Rambam to know. The Rambam writes in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Tes of Sefer HaMitzvos, He should tzivanu liskor masha'asa lanu Amalek begdimu l'ra lanu. Shebechol eis ve'eis ne'orer hanafashos b'mamarim. We got to get people going about Amalek. We have to be ma'orer nefashos. Get them excited. Get them angry about Amalek. Li'lachim bo, to wage war on them. It's very clear in the Rambam, what's the gedder of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? To charge people to war. Right? If you're going to go to war, you have to get psyched up. Is that still a term, psyched up? Mm-hmm. It is? I try to like keep updated, but in the old days when I was a kid, like you got psyched up to get pumped. Okay, pump them up. I like to be up to date, so I can switch it to pumped. Pumped up to fight. Li lachim bo. Vinizariz am lisno so, and to get them to really hate them. Like, guys, when you hate somebody, you can't just do it like, I will now be mekayim the mitzvah of killing Amalek. It doesn't work like that. You have to be like a savage beast against Amalek. Like go in there with a M16 and like momish ruthless man, woman, child. You have to believe that they're the worst thing that was ever created. You can't just go into a war like that. You have to get the Elam going. So the Rambam holds the mitzvah of Zechira is like a charge to war. Imagine someone would do this. We're actually being the kind of the mitzvah the way they're supposed to. Like tomorrow when we're reading Zachar, guys might run out of the base medrash, like all riled up with bats, like give me an Amaleki, you never know. It's very hard to know where they are or who they are. But you get all you get all ready for war. That's what's mashma in the Rambam. Ad shelo tishkach, until you don't forget it, meaning it's part of your consciousness. It's part of your consciousness. Velo techlash sinaso, and the hate doesn't get weaker. We know that sometimes things in life we were passionate about when we were younger, like now we're much more relaxed about them. Because we didn't update that passion, right? It worked. It's true. It's true. There were things that I was more passionate about, and I'd like to get to reinvest in that passion, but it's going to take time. We're going to have to read Svarim about it. We're going to have to get into it. But it's hard to keep an emotion alive. So the Rambam's saying the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is to keep this emotion going. Time takes a toll on all of our ideals. You know, say, oh, I felt the same way you did when I was 18. But now I'm an old man. I'm less excited. I've been around. I also thought I was going to become a Bucky Bashas. I also thought, now I'm an old man. It's very hard to be so excited. It's reminding me now of this morning. I went to the cheder of my son, and I stopped in by the menahel, the principal of the cheder. And what I'm amazed about this cheder, it's called Chavistas, is they do all these new projects, like every year. Like they're in a massive campaign for brachos. The kids get these cards. Kids in Eretz Yisrael love cards. They're called klafim. It's a big thing. And it's like all these new things. I told them I'm really amazed, because like I'm sure there are a lot of chadarim that when somebody's been the menahel for 40 years, it's like every year you just do the same exact thing with the kids. It makes life easier, right? But we know what happens when that happens, is the kids suffer. You know, they have these, like some teachers have these notes that are yellow, right? They were white pages, and like now they're like yellowing from time, and they're like going through their notes, and everyone's falling asleep. The reason they're falling asleep is because the teacher's also falling asleep. I try, you know, there could be a big nisayon. I have, for my notes of Shmuzin, I have a lot of notes, a lot of notes from Shmuzin. But you can't give a Shmuz from notes. It doesn't work. I've even tried to cheat. I've tried. It doesn't work because your heart's not in it. It could be that you'll say the same thing again, but you have to like relearn it, re-become it, or else no one's going to be interested. Why? It was great. Last time it was a smashing success. Yeah, but now time is like sort of just taking away the excitement from that thing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So the Rambam is saying to constantly update. Now, how often do you do this mitzvah? We'll see what's mashma in the Rambam. V'hu amar yisal zachar shalacha amalek. Amor mamarim beficha. Say things verbally, meaning you have to verbalize it. That's another point. A lot of times we have thoughts in our head, but we don't verbalize them. When you don't articulate something, when you don't say it out, a lot of times it doesn't have the same effect on you. A person has to be able to say things. They have these meetings for Alcoholics Anonymous and all these things. People get up and they stand up. They go, my name is Chaim Dov Stark. I'm an alcoholic, right? Why do they do that? If they're at the meeting already, so it's understood that they're an alcoholic. Why do they have to get up and say a zug? I'm an alcoholic. There's a certain koach ha-nefesh that when someone articulates something, it becomes a tangible reality by them that they never were able to really have in just zechira. So the chiyuv is to articulate it. Asher asa lecha befe, lo tishchach belev, klom amru mamorim beficha, sheyichayvu bnei adam shelo tasser sinasim avavus. Not to stop hating. So the kiyum of mitzvah here is to hate them, to really hate them. Now, according to the Rambam, it's mashma, my friends. When do you do this mitzvah? You can do it all day. Maybe even are supposed to update your hate every day. In fact, there are some postgame the Magen Avraham brings that in Birchas Kriya Shema, he brings a remez to where to think about Amalek every single day. When you're, I think on the word Shimcha HaGadol, Hashem's name is whole and big. Amalek tries to destroy the name of Hashem. You should think about Amalek. But in theory, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is to think about Amalek all the time. It's like a mantra by you, something that you really have, but the feeling is that they're bad. That they're bad. Every other guy in the world is not bad. I don't like, my kids sing this song. Not my girls, obviously. My boys are the ones with the... But they sing this song, they learned it in cheder, I don't know, goy goy yimach shemay. It rhymes. But my Rebbe told me, yimach shemay is the worst thing you could ever say at anyone. Yimach shemay means let his name be erased. We never say that about goyim. We don't just throw around terms, yimach shemay. Goyim are not bad. There's nothing about Goyim that's intrinsically bad. A Goy can get a chelik in Olam Haba. He can become from Chassidei Umos HaOlam. A Goy can help Yidden. A Goy can be around at Yemos HaMashiach. Goyim have tikkunim. There are tikkunim for Goyim. They're not going to be, you know, in the center stage, but they have tikkunim. Amalek is the only one who has no tikkun. To completely destroy them. That's the purpose. Their very genetic pool is bad. And that's why it's natural to not want to kill a child. Who would want to kill a child? A cute little Amaleki baby, right? Pudgy cheeks, you know, nice little Aryan kid, blonde hair, blue eyes. He looks like he's on a Pampers commercial, you know, cute little belly. No, you have to get rid of him. He's bad. How do you do that? You have to ingrain in your system to really not fall for it. Shol HaMelech in some way, right? He was supposed to remove all of HaMelech from the world. He didn't. And Haman came from that. That's why we're learning about it at Purim time. Haman is from HaMelech. Haman's there all because Shol didn't finish the job. And the Mekubalim are very into the Gilgulim. And this, not getting into that now. When I'm learning Rambams, I don't want to combine it with Gilgulim. But there's big, big cheshbonos in Shamayim of what happened with Shol and Esther and Mordechai. And Mordechai is an Ish Yemini. He's from Shevet Binyamin, which is the same Shevet as Shol. Right? Ben Kish. But, so that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to hate them and all the time. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that you're mekayim this mitzvah once a year, and that's tomorrow. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, to read the parsha, and to read it with a minyan in shul. I want to discuss something, which, a chiddush, and I want to talk, I don't know if there's enough time for this, but this is a very deep point about Amalek. I want to talk about what they do exactly. Amalek is based on, there are a lot of proofs that Amalek is not really, they believe there's a Hashem. There's a lot of proofs to that they believe there's a Hashem. It just doesn't make a difference that there's a Hashem, which is a very dangerous approach. There's a Hashem, but whatever. One proof of that is the Medrash Tanchuma, which is brought by Rashi, but Rashi doesn't quote this very powerful Lashon that's in the Tanchuma Yud, that when they were fighting Klal Yisrael, they cut off their brisses. They cut off the brisses of Klal Yisrael. A lot of people, myself included, for a while were under the impression that when it says they cut off their brisses and threw them up to Shemayim, what were we talking about? What bris? What are we talking about? How did you guys understand? What? That's how you understood originally? So a lot of people understood that they were throwing up their orlas because, you know, the bris cuts off a part and they just threw that up. No, they actually chopped off brisses and sent them up. And the Lashon of the Medrash says, Hashem, you chose this bris back at you. They were chucking it back up to Hashem. They took brisses. They were mamish, crazy people. They didn't just kill. They killed, chopped off the bris, threw it up to Shemayim. In fact, the Chassidish Svarim, right, the Svas Emes, points this out, that they were trying to show that Klal Yisrael is not even Kadosh in this area, and that we make mistakes in Bris, right? The whole idea of Keri, Asher Karcha Baderach, right? That's Amalek. But what do you see? You see they knew who Hashem was. They had a Shita. Hashem, back at you. Throwing it back at Hashem. They had an agenda that I know there's a Hashem, and I hate, I don't want to say the words, I hate, they hate the Rabbon Shalom. They mamish had an agenda, that's evil. They were here to mamish know Hashem and get rid of Hashem in the world. And the Arizal says, we know, what's the idea of Keri? What does Keri mean? Asher Karcha Bedarach, what does the word Keri mean? What's that?
Occurrence,
right, or happenstance. Things that happen, you can even use the word coincidence, mikra. Mikra is something, an occurrence or happenstance. It happened. That's Amalek. Amalek's all about Asher Karcha. What happens? And the Arizal says they took the yikar. Yikar, what does yikar mean?
Deer.
What's that?
Deer.
Something deer, yakar. Or kavod. Kavod. Yikar. Yakar means deer. This is actually interesting. This is fascinating. Yakar means deer. Yikar has its root in Aramaic. And the word yikar means something that's honorable. Honorable. It's actually a fascinating thing, because the word is spelled the same way, and they are related. Something that's dear is also honorable. But when it says yikar in the Megillah, La'ihudim haitza orv simcha v'sasim v'yikar, they got honor. It's actually based on the Aramaic derivative that happens sometimes. And Amalek takes the yikar, takes the honor, and turns it into keri. This is an Arizal. It's good for you. I know you like Arizals. It's Kabbalah. Yikar. Yikar is everything that's majestic in the world, everything that has meaning in the world. That's called yikar. It's like, wow. You look at the Bria, you see today it's not such a blue sky, but it's still incredible what's going on in the weather. But a blue sky, the birds are singing, the trees, the wind, everything together has a certain majesty to it. That's called yikar. And Klal Yisrael has a majesty to it. Amalek says, you see that yikar? It's Keri. It just happens to be that way. It's actually all an explosion. Actually, the sky, you know, it's blue. An explosion. Birds singing. An explosion. Everything's just a big explosion. Right? It's all about just randomness. It's not really like the Apikorsis today, though, of the ones who believe the world just came from an explosion. Amalek doesn't care if Hashem created it or not. Either way, it's an explosion. Whether Hashem created it or not, we'll just assume it's an explosion. That's why Amalek's gematria suffix. They don't really care. They don't really care about deciding anything. Just chill with it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So they take the yikar, the beauty, the message, the grandeur, and they turn it into, what do they turn into? Keri. Randomness. And if you look in Rashi, on Asher Karacha Baderech, they happened upon you. Like Yaakov was saying, they happened upon you. But the Mefarshim are explaining here, look what Rashi says. What does karcha mean? Rashi says, lashon mikre, happenstance, or random. Or davar acher, lashon keri v'tuma, right? Like tumas keri. Or lashon kor, freezing. What's the connection between tuma, randomness, and freezing? All of them are being detached. Right? When something's random, it has no message to it. So it's completely detached. There's no author's intent. Right? Everything that has an author or a creator has author's intent. You have a piece of art. So you just study, what did the artist mean when he did this? What did he mean when he did that? Right? There's something behind the painting. Something deep. That's yikar. Keri is nah. He actually just took a bunch of paint and went like that. Whoosh. A lot of paintings actually look that way today. It looked like somebody just like went like that, and they charge like $3,000 for a painting like that. Sometimes they can charge $100,000 for a painting like that. Take a bunch of paint and just splash it around. There's no author's intent. It's random. So that's the yikar to the keri. That means that's also cold. It's true that Rashi says it was cold because they jumped into a pot and they made it cold. But when you feel cold, you're away from the source of energy. Heat is close to a source. So, and tuma, the word tuma comes from the word tam. What does the word tes mem mean? It's actually an interesting word. The root of the word tuma is the word tam.
Simple.
Simple is with a tough, but if it's a tes mem. Tam, that's you're right, that's tes ayin mem. Tam is taste. But the root tam I'm talking about is tes mem. Tes mem is stopped up. When something's mitum tam, when something's mitam temes halev, because I'll say that non-kosher food stops up, it's mitam tem. Mitam tem means that like, it clogs your spiritual arteries. So Amalek is the king of Keri, of stopping things up, of making things cold, of making things random. And I want to shock you with a very important message. It's a chiddush I had this year. I ran it by my rebbeim. What tuma did they bring? What tuma did they bring to the world, Amalek? What tumah? Rashi says a tumah over here. It's kedai to go over these Rashis, even though it's not the parsha, but it's the mitzvah of the Shabbos. The tumah they brought was they did Mishkav Zachar on Klal Yisrael. Nobody knows, it's like a not such a famous Rashi. Everyone knows the rest of the Pshatim. They know they jumped into the pot, right? They know that they were into randomness. But nobody knows this one, that they actually started attacking Klal Yisrael's men and doing Mishkav Zachar with them. And that was the tumah, keri milashin tumah. It's a Rashi al Torah. Can I ask you a question? And I spoke to my Rebbeim, I got a very big green light on this. They enjoyed the kasha and the teretz. Why is Amalek, this was actually supposed to be a shmuz this week, but I decided that it was way too shovavim dick, and I wanted to leave shovavim. I actually had a whole shmuz prepared, brand new material, much more huge chidushim in this area. And I felt it wasn't fair to you because I wanted you to have a real message of Purim and not think that I was still in shovavim and doing a trick. So I the last minute I didn't give the shmuz. But I have it written down, so don't worry. But I'm giving you this a little bit now, which is, why is Mishkav Zachar Amalek? What's the connection? And this is very important today because Mishkav Zachar is very in today. It's very in. And what I mean that it's in is, and this is going to be part of the whole thing, is that it's not the pshat that it's in to be a Mishkav Zachar. It's in to accept Mishkav Zachar, to be a supporter of Mishkav Zachar. What's really in the world is not Mishkav Zachar, the chefs of Mishkav Zachar. It's to bedafka represent not caring about Mishkav Zachar. It's not a big deal. He likes girls, he likes boys. And what's the difference, right? Let me explain to you a very deep point over here. What does the word yikar mean? Listen to this, guys. This is an incredible thing because everyone's always asking me what's wrong with Mishkav Zachar. And this is maybe the time to do this. What's the difference between a man and a woman's relationship and a man and a man? When you believe there's a bria, why do the Christians, or why were they against Mishkav Zachar? Why was this something that was so accepted in the world, even among the non-Jewish world? The pshat is like this. The entire world functions a certain way, and the creation itself has a message. There's a message. There's a message to science. Science itself, it's not a random just explosion. It has a message. And the message of the Bria is that there are certain ways of functioning, right? There's the what they call the birds and the bees, which is actually the whole way they teach about reproduction. Is there's a mashpia and a makabel. There's a giver and there's a taker, right? It actually starts all the way from the top of what's called Hishtalshelus Olamos. The first mashpia in the world was Hashem Yisbarach. And the makabel is Klal Yisrael. That's why our relationship with Hashem is like Shir HaShirim. Things are given and received, and then a child comes out of that. And all productivity, all reproduction, all chiyus of the Bria comes from this relationship. And the world understood that there was author's intent. The world intuited that this is the way things are supposed to be. They're trying to claim that there's no message to the Bria. That Yikar, which is actually the Bria, this is a very deep point, the Bria itself is wrong. No. The birds and the bees should work differently. And that's why it's called a toeva, an abomination. Why is it called an abomination? The answer is because it's against the way that Hashem created the flow of the Bria, the message of the Bria. But when you believe that there's no message, that everything's yikar, is keri, when you believe that everything that's honorable, that has author's intent, is really an explosion, then you will die for the cause of proving that there's no reason that it has to be men and women. It could be men and men also. There's something much deeper behind it. That's why the support of the world is the more dangerous part. Having Mishkav Zachars walking around is a halbatzara. It's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is why everyone needs to have parades and wave to all the Mishkav Zachars, and they're so proud of them. You know, Agansa Mesiba. What's the pshat? The pshat is Amalek. Amalek came to Klal Yisrael. They did Mishkav Zachar to prove that nothing in the Bria has any type of message to it. Everything is just whatever you want to do. So you can even have a relationship with your dog. You can have a relationship with your cow. This is a very, very deep point. And by the way, Amalek worked. I want you to know. They were successful on this. Because the vast majority of people in the world have a hard time understanding what could be wrong with this. Meaning we're so far removed from things having to be a certain way that we've become cold and detached. Now, I'm not talking about a person who has a nisayon in this area. Every person's allowed to have a nisayon in any area. A person's allowed to have a nisayon to be attracted to men. They're entitled to have such a nisayon. Every person, just like a person's entitled to have a nisayon to be attracted to arayas, they're also entitled to have a nisayon in anything. But the tumah of Amalek that they came with Mishkav Zachar is that they went with a banner. This is not a nisayon, this is lechatchila. This is lechatchila. And as much as they try, they will never make this a productive relationship. They can do this. Two women can adopt a kid, right? Imagine, I'm scared for these kids, right? Having two mothers and two fathers. You know, imagine growing up, the gefährliche tumma. This is what's happening in the world. You know, they're not, whatever these two women want to do, all I can tell them, I have news for you. One of you is the mother and the other one's not. Yes, I am. They get very angry. You're not the mother. Yes, I am. Right? They're going to be so angry. No, it's scientific, lady. Scientific. You had no part in this child. Some test tube of a guy was brought to you. Liar! They're fighting the Bria itself. They're actually fighting the Bria. And this is something incredible that in our time, this is what the source is. Regular Arias is not a toeva like that. Regular Arias is just illicit relationships. A man is supposed to be having a relationship with his wife, and every other woman is a nisayon, but it's not a nisayon of an aberration in the Bria, like some sort of abomination in the Bria. It's a nisayon that this relationship's not for you. Mishkav Zachar is a toeva, says the Maharal, because it's a relationship that can't exist. It's against nature. There's no mashpia, there's no makabel, there's no productivity or reproduction that comes out of this. It's a lie. And the world today wants to argue that when you're born a boy, you can decide you're a girl. It doesn't work. I mean, you can change your clothes, you can put a few hormones in, but everybody knows they have not and they never will figure out to make a man a woman. They will not be able to do it because it's an actual upheaval of Borei Olam's message in the Bria. They can call themselves what they want. They could have five choices to go to the bathroom. You know, if you're one of the above, go here. You know? But they're not going to be able to go against Borei Olam's Bria. But that's what Amalek came to do. They came to say that every yikar, every author's intent in the Bria is keri mamish, is keri mamish. And we should be zocha to the yikar amiti, which was Nisgala in Purim with the destruction of Haman. Yikar is gematria shai. 310 olamos to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'karav b'mherav yameinu.